Said what?
It took me a month Love to get Hope Radio.
Really?
Yeah.
everybody. How you doing? This is Psychic X Journey Man here on Psychic X Journey Man Spiritual Link. Welcome to the show. This is also here on Block Talk Radio. So welcome. We're broadcasting live from Manitou Springs, Colorado. So if you want to give a call in here and actually get some questions answered, please do so. Give us a call here at 646-721-9031. Again, that number is 646-721-9031. Call in here. Next 2 hours, we're going to be talking on subjects of Atlantis and giving some insights and really giving people a picture of exactly what we're talking about, of looking at certain things. When you see visions, you have a tendency to really want to bring those to people to help them visualize it as well. So we're going to go over that too as well. And also, as we always talk about relationships on this show as well, put some insights to the whole thing too. And also, I also do private readings too, so give me a call at 740-500-8863 or 740-601-9835 or contact me to my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. I do private readings, group readings. We also do charity functions, which if you have a charity function that you'd like for us to show up at, please do. No charge. And it's going to be our pleasure to come there and help you meet your goals, what you're trying to accomplish. Also, a sponsorship for the show. You can sponsor the show and get your product in. You promote it for only $40 a month. So definitely jump in there and give us a call on the private number, which is 740-500-8863. We do private readings. We do, right now we're having a March special where you can get a 60-minute reading for only $33.33. A 40-minute session is only $22.22. And a 20-minute session is only $11.11. We also have a one-card reading, which is about 15 minutes. We take one card, do a reading for you. Very insightful, and it gives you an idea of what we can actually do with seven cards. And that reading is only $9.99. And also we do life coaching, relationship counseling, working with children with special gifts and that kind of stuff. Group readings. The group readings go like this. We can do a group reading where it's 5 or 10 of your friends, where we all gather around, almost like a party setting, but it's actually we're just going to do readings and that kind of thing. Or else you can actually do it on Skype, or we have a group video call, where I initiate the call, we contact all the people, and we're all at the same time. And also, we can also show up at your party through Skype, where you just set up a laptop. We have a laptop. Put us on a table. People can come up to the table, get a reading from throughout the party and that kind of thing like that, or even the group reading can be done that way too. So if you want to take advantage of those situations, give us a call, 740-500, let's do it one more time, 740-500-8863. And also we have this thing with the sponsorship, and we can also you can advertise on this show too for only $40 a month. You can advertise on this show, get your product and you promote it. And speaking of sponsors, we have a sponsor that we like to throw out there and say, hey, thank you, Richard. Richard Poynga of Divine Body Wash. Go to his website, divinebodywash.com. And he's actually got a special going for our callers. And for the people out there listening, that for $25 donation, he'll give you a bottle of this body wash. And for the people who donate $35 or more, he'll throw in a bottle of body mist. So check out the site. It's really good products. And it's a really good deal. And for only $25 donation, you can get you a bottle of this body wash. And for a donation of $35 or more, you can also get a bottle of body mist. So check that out as well. And also, like I said before, you can also become a sponsor on the show too. Richard gets himself promoted and his products. And we'd be glad to do it because we really appreciate his support. And he came in at a good time. Timing's always everything. And if you want to be a sponsor on this show or you want to advertise on the show, just give us a call, 740-500-8863, and it's only a $40 fee monthly, and I don't think you can find that anywhere. So check that out. Also, the situation I write for Bel Esprit magazine, so go check that magazine out. I'm in the section of spiritual insight to relationships, and also check the whole magazine out. There's a lot of great writers in there. A lot of great information, so check that out too. Also, get on the bandwagon and go down to Celebrations if you're here in Manitou Springs. They got all kind of metaphysical stuff. Yeah, they have a new ownership down there now, and it's actually booming and that kind of stuff, so bring it on down. And I think you really find out it's a good atmosphere, and if you're looking at having a stressful day, I know for me, I go in there all the time just to get out, get myself in a different kind of frame of mind. And that's the kind of place it is, too. So, therefore, check it out. That's down on Old Colorado Avenue in Colorado Springs. I think it's around the 22nd Street, right there in that location. It's kind of funny. I was actually there today, and I can't remember. But I know it's between 25th and 22nd, and it's when you, it's actually a big yellow. It's actually a couple yellow houses, so you can't miss it. Very bright and very sunshiny, we'll put it that way. Also, check out some Hemi Sync CDs. Go to www.hemi-sync.com. It's it's not new technology. It's been out for a very long time. I've actually got these back in early 2003, and it's really helped my meditations, my readings, and everything else. It just enables you to really concentrate, give you great focus, because it has a certain tone underneath the music that actually enables both hemispheres of your brain to work together. So check it out on the website. You'll get more insight about exactly what it's all about. Go to www.hemi-sync.com. We also, another company we like too is BrainSync. That's www.brainsync.com. This is some of the little CDs, and actually it's great about going on and check on the website itself. They actually have a list on these CDs of exactly what some of the little messages that you're actually getting, and you could actually check it out too. I think it's one of those things that's great to write them all down and listen to the CDs, so it's almost like you're getting a double dose of these things. Then you probably get some really quick, precise results. And also, if you want to check out those CDs, go down to Celebrations down to West Colorado Avenue in Colorado Springs. You can find all these CDs down there. And let's see here. Also, if you're looking for angel cards, Dorian Virtues, Jerry and Esther Hicks books and that kind of thing, greatest place to go down there and check it out too as well. Let's get on with our show. If you want to give a call in here, give us a call at 646-721-9031. We'll slow it down a little bit for you. That's 646-721-9031. And also we got our co-hosts. Besides, we also have April in the chat room. So if you guys have any questions that you'd like to ask, April will be sitting there watching the chat room and give us a little insight. So just give us some insights if you want to actually get an answer on the air or if you just want someone to answer it for you. Through a private MI, or an MI, what is that, IM? Okay, and also let's bring on D. Oh, D, how are you?
Hello. Hello.
So how's it going with you? How's your
I'm
day?
I'm here.
That's good. What did we get here?
Well, it has improved. I finally hung up because I knew you were going to be 5 hours later and I didn't want to run the battery down on the phone.
Gotcha. It's one of those things. Just one of the...
No, actually, it started to look up.
It started
to look up later on. I've been going back and forth. With my life is, well, things were starting to look up because it was kind of, I was feeling crappy for a while.
Uh-huh.
I feel a lot better now.
Well, that's good.
I decided that perhaps tomorrow, I sent a message to Marcus because he wanted me to co-host tomorrow and figured maybe I should just to see what's going on.
Right.
I don't know.
I don't know. It's one of those situations. Just keep, you know, curiosity and that kind of stuff. Just go with the flow and see what happens. And
right.
So, Dean, let me ask you a question about things about what we were discussing Atlantis and that kind of stuff. And so, what's your insight on Atlantis?
You want my opinion on Atlantis?
Your insights. I'm sure we've all. I think everybody's heard of Atlantis. So I was just thinking. What's your insight to Atlantis, and how do you feel about the situation? You think it's real or myth?
No, I tend to agree with it. I think there was something to it. It's not Atlantis, but I bought 2 years back. I bought a big crystal. I bought it from a place here in Maine, and. Because I'm one of those strange people, being very honest about it. I have this thing for crystals that are phallic looking. So I bought this one. It was a really big thing. Really life size, you know. and all that. And the woman that sold it to me told me that it was a Lemurian seed crystal, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
See, I think it, one of this was, it had something going for it. I remember reading Shirley MacLaine's book, The Camino, and she
uh-huh.
talked about having lived in Atlantis.
Oh, yeah? Who's that?
I really think, Shirley MacLaine.
Oh, okay, yeah. Gotcha.
She took that road deal. She did the Camino route.
Right.
She took that walk. And she talked about being in Atlantis. And I somehow, maybe my memory's faulty, but I somehow think somebody said something about my having been there at one time. I don't know.
Right.
Because I always resonate to having lived across the pond forever.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I think there's definitely something to Atlantis.
Right.
A lot of things got lost during, there's been the Ice Age. There's been so many things that have happened and people don't, the way the world is today, there are only, I don't know how many there are of us, but there are those of us that, we resonate at a higher vibration than other people. And it's just, we see things differently and we view things differently, whereas, your average Joe Schmo looks at life and says, that's a bunch of bullshit. Because they can't see beyond their five senses.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's something there.
The idea of actually using that sixth sense kind of goes above them sometimes, which is kind of amazing.
Right.
It's amazing how, especially business people, have a tendency to denounce the idea of sixth sense and any kind of abilities when they use their intuition all the time.
Right.
Making those big business deals and that kind of stuff. And you hear them, people go, I had a good feeling about this, not realizing that's pretty much what it is. They used to have a joke saying, what's the difference
because
between
there's so many people out there that...
No, I said there's a joke out there you used to have out there. What's the difference between psychic and intuition? There is no difference.
Huh?
It's called fear.
I don't know.
When people fear the psychic, they call it intuition. When somebody smacks you really hard and you said, I saw that one coming. No, you didn't because you still got hit. Things live by.
Well... Either that or you actually did see it coming, but you didn't bother to duck.
Oh, well, sometimes with some people, you have to understand one thing.
You saw it coming, but
you didn't
get out of the way because you were too...
No, I'm just saying, sometimes with situations, if you didn't see it coming, if you don't know what's up, just say you don't and duck. I was sitting there looking at some things myself. Papers on fire. We're sitting there looking at some things like I was talking about before. Look at the situation. I think you'll see some pictures on our show page of an underwater city. That was some pictures I pulled up about Atlantis. But showing people the idea of what we're talking about, the society that's so far advanced that they live under the ocean, but in some words, some people would look at them as being primitive without even looking at the force field. It's actually protecting them. And also the energy that comes from both that sustains them as in their power source, but they still have a tendency to carry themselves like people who walk around in robes. So I guess it's not too far fetched from people walking around in pajamas, but but to give you a, let's give you a visual, okay? You see, because I was trying to get people to look at the show page because you get a visual, you'll see a city that has an aqua colored blue. It looks like a water bowl upside down over top of the city. And that's actually a force field of taking yourself as in, like, let's say we're watching Titanic. And you remember how they used to take the cameras into the ship. It's the idea of everybody opening their minds and allowing themselves to be going into the Titanic. But what we're actually doing is we're coming up over a cliff as we're going through the ocean. We're in the ocean ourselves. We have a little motorized, I don't know what you want to call it, a little transportation as we're scooting through the waters of the ocean. We come up over a little ridge and we see this city that's submerged. with this humongous force field over the top of it. And when you look at it, you really can't tell the difference. You see the city, you see the lights, but you really don't see the force field, except where you can see the outline of something that's blending in with the city itself and the water. Okay? As you sit there and focus on this, you get closer to it. And the people, then you start to see a vehicle coming from your left that goes into the force field, and you're thinking they're going to crash into this thing when they actually go right through it. They go into the city, and as you start really looking at this, right, but when you, okay, then you see this little, I guess you would call it a little scooter. It's like one of those little subs, you know. I want you to call like a little snowmobile, a snowmobile sub, you know, submarine. As you see this thing going, you'll see this thing go over to one of the domes that's all lit up, and you'll see it go into the dome too, and disappear. As it's going into this dome, you will see very clearly the lights, the city, the people, and you start getting caught up in the whole picture. That you forget that you're actually under the ocean. And you take this all, you're taking this whole thing in, and you're looking at it going, okay, this is incredible. Who built this humongous city? And then as you get closer to it, you start losing track of who you are. And the next thing you know, you wake up on the seashore in the sand, going, okay, what just happened? This is what we call a trip to Atlantis that you can't remember.
Like out of body.
Huh?
I said like out of body.
Mm-hmm. But it was just the idea of looking up. So we take a look at the city. When you look at the city, you'll see sections, and you'll see more of a smooth texture. A lot of times you'll see the city of Atlantis, they'll have it under the, up the ocean, but they'll have it kind of like built in sections, like domes. Or like you would see a baseball sitting on a pedestal. You have that little pedestal on the baseball itself. You'd have a building. It looks just like that, sitting up on a pedestal and round. But what happened was it's all glass, but it's sections of glass. What you got, steel square picture windows. Like there's like a bunch of them all together as one, like a snow globe. And when you look at the city, what you see is you see like 30 of these things in different sizes, and they're all connected with little tubes, and those are actually transportation tubes back and forth. And then you'll look over to the left, and you'll see this big old ring. That's actually a Stargate. That's actually connected to this one here is like in the Gulf of Mexico, and then this one's and then the Stargate itself connects you to the one in Iceland. So what you do is you go up to the Stargate, you have a little. Actually, it's more like mental. You focus and you say, okay, Stargate, I want to go to... No, their names or not, but it's like, I want to go to my friend near Iceland. The Stargate will automatically do its thing. You step through it. As you step through it, it's like stepping through a wall. But when you step through it, you're in your friend's home, in their hometown, their home little city under the water near Iceland, and you like going there because you love it because they got the same kind of apparatus, they have the same kind of buildings, but the water there is almost like a really deep teal blue green, and you like going there to watch the whales, and then you have that when you go there, each city has two Stargates, okay. You have one in and one out, basically. So then while you're there, he's like, okay, let's go check out some of my friends in Japan. The one in Japan is a little bit different. When you go to Japan, you're going to end up in a nice... Most people see these as ruins under the ocean near Japan. But what it really is when you go through your little Stargate to go visit these people, you're actually inside that whole apparatus. And what happens is when they want to leave, there's actually a platform that opens up... And they have these little ships that they go back and forth that some people think are UFOs when they're actually just transportation to actually sometimes just to go flying out instead of taking the Stargates back and forth. which, you know, that's quick and easy and convenient. But sometimes you like to get a little vehicle and just scoot around the planet for a while, you know. And it's what cool about these freaking vehicles are, they look like flying saucers. And they have force fields of their own. And the reason they have force fields is not the idea of protection, but for stealth technology. So what you'll see is you'll see these things into the ocean. You're only acting like, how come can I see these things? Well, certain things about stealth technology, when you crash into the water, you need the force field to actually absorb the impact. Because you'll sit there and see a lot of times you won't see the ships themselves. And actually they've gotten to the point right now where they don't care about that part. They just don't want you to find out where they live at. No one wants you to come home, bring home unwelcome guest. So they don't care about the ships, but the ships are so kind of cool because they're based on technology of crystals with a combination of mercury. You create the force field. When you zap into the water, it absorbs that whole thing, so the craft within the force field itself never gets hurt. There's nothing damaged or not like that because the force field is like almost like a pool table. It's one of those little pocket things that absorbs them. Or I guess you could call it a shock absorber. But it's a force field. It's really cool. And then you got all these things going on. And a lot of people don't realize sometimes when we look at these situations, we know we still see sightings of UFOs and that kind of stuff and certain things that we can't explain. But sometimes I think we should question the idea of, is it Atlantean technology or alien technology? Or could it be the combination of both? And are these things that have happened back in the past, or is it something that could be continuously happening right now? So we take a look at those things, we take a look at those subjects, and wonder what's going on. And if you don't want to wonder what's going on, then that's fine too. I'm just saying with the situation of, I know for a fact when I was watching Alien Astronauts on the History Channel, I still keep scratching my head when they keep coming up with these theories with runways and stuff like that, which we've gone over before. But I'm just saying, it's kind of baffling when you look at all this stuff that's going around with these ancient civilizations, and they always want to trace it to an alien technology, when it could be there was an advanced civilization on this planet, which is, like I said, we said on the other show, it's been proven that there was two different types of human beings on this planet, and one died out in favor of the other. The interest, okay? And then we had advanced culture, when it could be the ideal, what we're looking at, it's not the missing link as in linking this to the primitive, to the modern man, but it could be two different human beings on the planet at the same time. And then you trace it back to Atlanteans and primitive man. And you wonder how they come, they split off like that. Well, there's a lot of things you wonder about, don't you? Like the idea, if we're all a human race, why are there different variations of that human race? Not just religion-wise, but also race-wise. Why are there different races? The scientists say that we originated when basically two proteins got together and the conditions were right, that created life. Okay? If we come from a single cell, anemia or whatever, why are there races on this planet? And if that's the case, I mean, if we look at the situation of races being developed, why couldn't there also have been two types of man? One very far advanced, mental-wise, and in a primitive state of man. When you sit there and see those kind of things, of all this evolving and certain things of influences and that kind of stuff, like you look at the idea of the Greek gods or the Roman gods, where they basically trace back to the original, the origin came from Atlantis, and not the idea of gods, but the idea of actually real people. Like Apollo was a real person. Zeus was a real person. They had abilities. And it could have also been just primitive man could have saw technology as lasers, or maybe back then they had a way of, I actually saw this apparatus where you can put these things on your hands and you stand on this, at that time you stand on this platform and you could actually shoot electricity out of your hands into the atmosphere and you could actually see it. Now, think about the technology, have that kind of, just that simple technology back in the day of primitive man. I mean, if we're thinking about Atlanteans, they're talking about 11,000 years ago. So when you put all those things together and you look at it and you say, okay, what if there was men back then who actually developed a technology that would make them make people think they were gods? And we were looking at the beginnings of the Egyptian Empire, the Egyptian civilization, and it was said that the pharaohs at that day were pretty mean people. So it could have been Atlanteans who actually got away from the heyday, okay, who got away from all that stuff, coming from a very positive society, and then being cast out or just being in a situation where they're no longer connected to the whole, that their dark side came out. And that's what we see as in the pharaohs, the first of pharaohs in the Old Kingdom, who were very primitive. I wouldn't say primitive, but they did come up with a god status, and they really pushed that god status to, you know, to get control of the masses. With that kind of situation, and just think about the technology you could have just to make yourself look like a god, that a primitive man, or like the Egyptians, we were talking about this before too, about the, why were Egyptians wandering the desert, and then one day they decided, okay, let's build a great pyramid, or let's build a great society. What was the motivation? Could it have been outcast of Atlantis, or just refugees from Atlantis? I know there was one person who was asking me a question too, saying, well, if let's say the city of Atlantis itself was destroyed, and then the continent of Atlantis was basically submerged on the ocean, and then you're talking about five or six outposts that still exist, why didn't these refugees go to these places? It's like today. We know Los Angeles exists. We know San Francisco exists. But when the process of us moving or going somewhere, it doesn't mean we're going to go there. We have a tendency to go up and do what we want to do with our lives. Or we like lead in a direction and go where we think we should go. I mean, I don't know who Joe, what's his name is, in Los Angeles, what he's doing, but he does exist. But just because we exist at the same civilization doesn't mean we coexist together. So it's the same thing with the Roman, and it's the same thing with the Atlanteans. These things still existed, but it seems like we have some Atlanteans who actually survived, who decided to go across the planet and actually stimulate these civilizations, which, honestly, we can definitely see the evidence of, you know? So what do you think? Good comment.
Interesting.
Yeah,
I know. My brain is here somewhere.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, let's put it out there. Really.
I mean, yeah. I never really thought.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Everything's very interesting. I never really thought as much about Atlantis, obviously, but I do think it. I can see what you're talking about with two different. It's almost like one thing that I did that came into my mind when you talked about the two different races, one more primitive than the other. It's like we had one race that sort of evolved in a sense.
Uh-huh.
Sort of like the primitive, because from what I'm hearing and from what I guess I've read, Atlantis was so much more advanced than we are even today. It's almost like, in some sense, it's only not really quite, but you probably remember the Jetsons.
Yeah,
and what it was going to be like in the 21st century. Well, of course, it's nothing like that. But Atlantis was so much more far advanced.
Yeah, but you got to look at the Jetsons.
And it seems like
Right, but I'm just saying, if you look at the true Jetsons, there's no Earth. Did you know that? In the Jetsons, there's no Earth. We're all basically floating. We're basically floating on these platforms that we call apartment complexes. Interesting, huh? I'm just saying. Go ahead.
I don't know.
No, I'll just say that's what I was looking at the whole thing, and you sit there and see if the first part of the Jetsons you death, basically what you see is the earth explode, and then, you know, technology taking over from there to actually so we can keep thriving. I thought that was interesting because I never caught it when I was younger. I just thought it was confetti. I didn't realize it was the earth blowing up.
Yeah.
All I want to say real quick is everybody out there, we are doing free readings today, so if you want to give us a call in here at 7, oh, that's my number. If you want to give us a call at 646-721-9031, please do so. We'd love to answer any questions you got. So come on in, give us a call, sit down, relax, take it all in. If you have your own little subject you want to throw in there, please do so. We'd be glad to listen. It's just one of those things where we're fascinated with Atlantis because I would love to find this place, but also we have this other theory that came out too. If you have the technology to disappear, right? They say that the theory was, and that we were sort of going over this very quickly, they say you did have a Stargate and you knew that your city and your continent was about ready to go submerge and be destroyed completely. Maybe the reason we really can't find any freaking evidence of any Atlanteans and that kind of stuff, because they went from this dimension to another, or maybe they went to into a Stargate to an alternate universe, or took the Stargate and went to another class Earth planet to get away from what was going on, to basically disappear altogether. I mean, we could take this theory even further by saying, okay, the Atlanteans still exist, and they flourish with the idea, we had this on the show, we were talking about three-dimensional travel, all right? Three-dimensional travel means you have a Stargate through dimensions to other worlds and also other planets and other solar systems, all simultaneously. So therefore, we're talking about the Atlanteans being on a multi-dimensional thing where they're actually, what they do is they want to go see Joe, but Joe doesn't really exist on this plane. He exists in a different dimension, or he belongs on a different planet. So it gives you a different insights to the connection that we're having and why there's really hasn't been discovery outside the planet of UFOs and aliens and that kind of stuff. It always seems to happen within the atmosphere, not outside the atmosphere. Would you think they would detect this thing with ships going up and all that kind of stuff with our satellites and that kind of thing? Not saying they haven't. But I'm just saying it's amazing that those things are going on unless it's all being done multi-dimensionally. Then, therefore, you wouldn't have to go anywhere except through these stargates and these portals back and forth, and they're all connected together. It's almost like looking at a freaking hamster cage with almost 30 or 40 different possibilities and directions to go in. Or you could just hop up on the little wheel here and get some exercise. You know what I'm saying? But it just gives you the things about why sometimes we just can't find any evidence of things. I actually read this book, too. It's called Time Travel. And the book was actually trying to prove that time travel already exists. It already happens because they've actually had proven archaeologists have actually done on digs. They've found things that are out of time. And actually, the first time it was actually brought to the surface, it was actually brought to the surface by remember the skulls, the glass skulls, the crystal skulls? They were thinking that the skull of where they found it had nothing to do with that time period. So where did it come from? And there was actually, as been said, that there, remember, everybody watched Harrison Ford, right? When they were watching the last Indiana Jones, and then we're talking about the crystal skull. That's actually based on fact, that it was said that these skulls are basically based, there's a skull for, I think, for each civilization throughout the universe, and there's one for Earth, there's one for each planet, and they're basically spread out over this planet. which gives everybody the insights from when we were talking about aliens visiting this planet. It was on a different format that would give it like this. The Atlanteans in their heyday, when the city was still existed, they just didn't have a great shipport. They also had a great spaceport. And they also had the stargates coming in, right? So we have aliens coming into these, like we do on Stargate, the program, on the television, if you ever watch the television show, where they're always going back and forth, and there's all these differences, different civilizations. And they had all that, but they also had a spaceport. When we say spaceport, it's like being transported. How do you describe that? It's like the transporters that you see on Star Trek, but take it five times further. Well, there is no sizzling noise. It's just simsim, okay? So you have different, it's like anything else. You know, the ideal, think about it like this. We have airplanes, we have cars, we have motorcycles. We have all kinds of different forms of transportation. It's just that when we sit here and focus on Atlantis, we're focused on those stargates, transporters, and those things, which are still transportational things. It's just that we're taking out the cars and everything like that. So the reason a lot of people think that Atlantis was so far advanced is because there was no such thing as money. And they're also saying that our society could be far advanced if we would just get our heads out of our asses and realize that money is holding us back. If we don't have enough of it, we don't do it. Not realizing back in the day, think about this. Let's all take our little brains back to the day. Okay? When there was no automobiles, when there was no freaking money. But for some reason, giving and receiving and exchange happened anyway. Whoa, what happened there? No money. I can't conceive it in my mind. That's because you don't want to. I actually talked about a guy like this. I said, let's give it the money altogether. He said, oh, we couldn't do that with our economy. And the way the church, oh, shut up, man. I'm sick of hearing people talk about things in a worldly way. You know, we look at a society, and there's actually I found this one I saw on the History Channel of finding this great city, and they think there might be a connection there with Atlantis too, because they didn't find any people, no skeletons. Okay, but what they did find out was they found a bunch of they found out this was like a city, and it's taken 10 years just to uncover half of it. This was a great city, and all the buildings and everything had running water, in-house plumbing. All the technology you ever wanted to. But see, the one thing that was not going on was there was nobody paying for anything. It was a society working together, cohesive, okay? Working together. They built their homes further into the ground, and they also initiated this some kind of blind thing on the windows that could actually incorporate that when you angled them just right, they could actually insulate your house at the same time. In the summertime, they could also circulate cool air through your house. So therefore, in the summertime, it was cool, and in the wintertime, it was warm. Okay? All this stuff was going on, and people wasn't being charged for utilities. Nobody was being charged for water. It was just the community saying, okay, let's do this whole thing, making everybody's lives easier. And we were starting to talk about this today, talking about this last week, where it was like, it's amazing, okay, we're talking about spirituality, we're talking about, you know, everybody deserves to get what they want, but people are taking it one, two step further. They're charging outrage. I mean, right now, we're supposed to be going through some kind of economy thing, but instead of working with people to try to get through this situation, people are actually raising their prices, which is the most illogical thing I've ever seen in my life. It's people feeding in the fear and scaring if they don't do those things, they're not going to have anything. When they don't realize in the process of their fears, they're taking from other people. I mean, when was the last time you seen somebody sitting on the street and you go, okay, didn't pay your rent? No, my doctor bills took everything I had. Do you think that we're so far advanced that we can't come up with some way where a person doesn't have to live in the streets or lose everything they have because they want to? Somebody needs some kind of medical care? Makes you wonder, don't it? But why are society so dead-bent on penalizing people when things don't go right? Like if you're late on your rent, they charge you more. And you say, what's the logic in that? If a person can't pay the rent in the first place, what's the point of raising it? Or throwing you couldn't pay the $400? We're going to raise it 50 more. So you see, when you go back to Atlantis, reason I think a lot of people are really fascinated with Atlantis, and I think people are a lot of fascinated with spirituality, because they're starting to realize one thing on this planet. They're the only mammals on this planet who are actually paying to live here. No other mammals pay to live here. The whales don't pay to live here. The bears don't pay to live here. And they all seem to be very flourishing very nicely. In the beginning of this society, in the human race, they were doing the exact same thing too. You didn't see someone build a hut. I'll build a hut for you and charge you $50 a month, you know, or 50 shells or whatever. Or like in the Flintstones, that's better be 50 clams. What do you think about that one, huh, Dee? I mean, it just makes you think, don't it? Your head just is spinning around going, we need to simplify, don't we?
My brain's going somewhere. But I'm not sure where it's going tonight. And that would be about the size of my answer at the moment.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because I was sitting there.
Weighty and...
Mm-hmm. No, we were also talking about why do scientists and doctors always put a time on something? Oh, we're going to come up with a cure for this at this time if they didn't already have it. How can you sit there and determine those things like that if you don't already have maybe a cure already, huh?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They always say, okay, in 10 years.
Yeah, people always want to determine something. Things and they don't have a clue.
Yeah, in 10 years we're going to have this technology. And you ask yourself, why 10 years? Are they just putting it out there to make you think about it when they're actually already sitting in a warehouse somewhere and doing the whole thing? Does anybody remember, 6 years? Somewhere around there. It was back when they interviewed that one guy who said he was actually working at Area 51 on UFOs. And he said it didn't just one, they actually had 5 different types that they were working on, trying to figure out how these things worked. He even drew pictures of these UFOs. He said they had them in hangars outside this thing. He said what they would do is they would fly them in on unmarked planes, or else drive them in on unmarked vans. They wasn't allowed to talk to anybody about anything, what they were doing. And actually, they did some research in Area 51 and found out that's exactly how they do it. They fly you in. They have their own little runway. They fly you in a nice white plane, unmarked, doesn't have anything on it, which actually goes against, I think, FCC or goes against the airline, that you have to have those codes on your plane, but this one doesn't. And then they have, you see, there's also, if you get too close to the place, all of a sudden, these people in these unmarked vans come out of nowhere. So the story seemed like it was starting to become more of a reality because of the things that people did find out that he talked about. That they actually started taking seriously about what the other part he was talking about was these UFOs that he was actually working on. And I guess from what I hear, there's out there people who are actually out there working on the technology, which makes you wonder. Think about it in some sense of the word, just a little bit. Where did these ideals for Stargate, the movie, and all these other things come from? They seem like they're really thought out. And the more you watch these things, the more possible they become. So I would say that the one thing that caught my eye about the alien astronaut series is the idea of certain things that didn't make any sense. Okay, in Peru, they found these little gold airplanes. About an inch or two. They're like little necklaces and stuff. And they're shaped like airplanes, like we have it. They don't just... somebody was coming up with a theory and said, oh, they're just mockingbirds. And a bird does not have a rudder. Okay? So when you sit there and look at that whole thing, and then they also found... there was this... I can't remember the pharaoh that was unearthed, but it was somewhere around the same time as King Tut. And a couple other ones that was unearthed. And this thing's set in a museum for a long time. But what it is, it's a bird. And it looks like a bird. But the only thing difference is the wings are structured just like a glider. And it also, when they start looking at it, you can start seeing markings on the back part of it that looks like it used to have a rudder. So you start thinking about these people and asking yourself, what did they know? What did they have? I mean, I think when the first time they found the batteries, those Cairo batteries, I mean, that should have got somebody thinking right there. What did the Egyptians really know? They know of it. They knew of electricity. And then you look at the pyramids and you look at everything that goes on around there. There's not really anything that really jumps out at you at first until you really start looking at the hieroglyphics and those kind of things. But when you look around, it looks pretty primitive, don't it? And I think it's one of those things where if we trace it back to, if we were actually standing in Atlantis in its heyday too, what we would probably see, we could probably stand in the main, what do you want to call that? I want to say the main courtyard, and look around, and you'll probably see Maya, you know, Maya technology, Egyptian technology, pyramids. It was actually said that the great city of Atlantis and the capital itself was a pyramid. And it actually made the Great Pyramid look like a domino. And a domino affected, like, you know, those little things, you know, like one little domino, and here's this big, humongous pyramid that was in different levels and different layers and different situations where you could actually probably take 10 or 12 of these great pyramids and stick inside this one big pyramid that was actually in the middle of the city of Atlantis. So I think that's what you would see. We've all seen the ones in Mexico. You have the pyramid of the sun and the pyramid of the moon. Imagine, I think it's the pyramid itself. Realistically, that society seems to mimic more of Atlantean than anything else because of the way the pyramids are structured, that they were actually multi-dimensionally where they were used for many things. You know, like a lot of people are starting trying to figure out why, you know, what the Great Pyramid, what's it for? I mean, there's been many theories. But when you go to Mexico and you look at the Pyramid of the Sun, it's huge, fantastic. But it does have certain levels and layers and stuff where you can actually see it as being a ceremonial thing. You can see where they've used it, you know. Same thing with a bunch of other things in that culture. You can see they've used them for rituals and that kind of stuff. And they're great, and they're still great pyramids. The ones in Egypt seem to be the ones that are most different, where you almost like look at the people going, okay, what was the thing for? And then one guy came up with a theory. When you look in the pyramid itself, you have the king's hall and you have the queen's hall. And they also said, if you look at the two things, and it's almost like there's a chemical that you use where two chemicals come together. And when you put this in this pyramid, you can put one chemical in the queen's chamber, and then you put the other chemical in the king's chamber. There are certain tubes inside the pyramid that they can't understand either. I mean, if you're dead, you don't need ventilation. But there was ventilation in these things. So they're thinking, and what happens is they have these chambers. You can actually intersect the chemical, whatever you're using, into the chambers through these vents. And then there's us actually vents inside the castle, inside the pyramid itself, where you can actually combine these chemicals to have a great reaction that actually would create energy. So it's almost like the Great Pyramid was actually thinking it was a motor. And then you have those great stone, you know, I forget what they call those things. They're the ones around Egypt. They look like pencils standing straight up in the air. They're big stone templates. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-mm. That doesn't ring a bell.
Well, they were thinking that those things were used. They created an energy source inside the Great Pyramid that actually was able to shoot ions into the atmosphere, and then these pylons, these big stone pencils, were actually like telephone poles that would actually absorb the energy and transport it through the ground, so it could actually be hooked up to anything around it and actually give it like we have today, you know, like solar energy. long as you have a point that can actually absorb the energy, and then convert it into energy. You know, like the solar panels, they absorb the sun's energy, and then they turn it into electricity. Basically, what they're saying here is they created the same kind of chemical reaction within the pyramid itself, and then transport it through these other stones, like telephone poles. You could actually generate and actually supply a society with energy, because they were actually talking about the light bulbs that they saw in one of the I can't remember what was that, but it was one of the tombs where they show these big light bulbs with these cords going off of them. Some people say they're flowers, and some people say they're light bulbs. A lot of people say that it just indicates the idea of technology itself. Well, we still got 59 minutes and 15 seconds. So if you want to give a call in here and get a couple readings, if you guys are listening, don't be shy. Come on, give us a call in here, 646-721-9031. Maybe we should change the subject a little bit here. Seems like we're getting a little tense with the situation where people are going, huh? It's just simply saying that the Egyptians could take and sustain themselves. For example, we'll take it like this. They had an energy to create light in the pyramid because there is not enough oxygen down from the fire. So what they were doing was, we had this theory the other night we were talking about where they had those glow sticks, you know. They came up with a way of making light as in a chemical, as in a liquid. Plasma. Then they came up with a different way of taking it down through there so they could actually, some people said they were taking bowls. There are certain bowls that you can see that have a certain light to them where they feel like they took this illuminated stuff and put in the bowls that made light. So you could actually take it down with you down in the whole thing. Take it down the tablets and cone. Because it was also saying that, you know, just wasn't enough oxygen down inside those temples, and when they were actually inside those. Remember, we're talking about in the Valley of the Kings, back in these great tombs. I mean, I saw the ones for Ramses. Ramses was almost like an elaborate city underneath the ground. So you had to come up with some kind of way of getting light in those places, because we have to understand. You know, we're thinking, how could they do that? They didn't have lights. They didn't have flashlights. They had torches, but being back in some of those places, it's been said, even some of the people that went back in these places after they found these tombs and stuff, one thing they found they couldn't do is they couldn't sustain the fire on their torches because there wasn't enough oxygen in there. And you know, when it comes to fire and that kind of stuff, we can breathe in thin air. A lot of people do when they climb mountains and that kind of stuff. But when it comes to fire, fire has a tendency to go out very quickly without any kind of oxygen source. So we're sitting there looking at this thing, you know. The Egyptians had glow sticks. And also, what was the other thing? It was one of those things that we were talking about. The Egyptians are about the most different than the rest of the other civilizations that have pyramids. The only thing, the reason is because we could look at the ideal of these other ones that were mimicking it very well. Some of the technology that we had, a couple of Atlanteans here and there, but it seemed like we have the most Atlanteans that seem to be the ones who went to Egypt. So Egypt has a tendency to take on all kinds of different ways and different philosophies and different approaches to everything. Except then the other ones don't. The other ones have a purpose. They got a focus where I feel like you only have one influence, one Atlantean or what you want to say, come in those societies. But Egyptian had five or six or maybe even ten. So you have ten different perceptions of what they thought about Atlantis. Plus they were also talking about what kind of energy are we talking about. It's the idea of focusing on society as a whole, as in being very positive and focusing on that energy, okay? It says that each thought has a frequency and energy in itself. What if you could get a society to focus on nothing but positive, focusing on positive energy, and the process of focusing they actually created an energy source. So all they had to do was come up with a way to harness that energy and to use it. And that's where the crystals come in at. If you ever watch the animated movie Atlantis, The Lost Empire, that Disney did, had a couple of characters in it. We had Michael J. Fox and a couple other people, where it actually does show in there that they have this crystal and this energy source. It's also connected to other crystals and the energy that was in them too. So it connects society as a whole. The only thing that's different is when we sit here and watch them, they have these machines they couldn't operate because they forgot, you know, the thing hadn't been handed down to them from, you know, generation to generation, so they didn't know how to do that. So this guy, what I was saying is that, I said, you watch the movie, you'll see they put their hand on a pad on the machine, they take the crystal, and they stick it into a hole like a key, and they turn it, and then they put their hands on the thing, and then the machine goes. I say, you have the crystal pad you put your hand on, but I'm saying, you have the crystal, you have the machine itself, and the crystal energy source within it, where it was all you had to do was think of what you wanted to do, and it would have took off. So it shows a very great, strong, powerful force, and a society can actually accomplish by everyone focusing on nothing but positive thoughts, which created positive energy, which we know for a fact when you focus in that direction, that's how you manifest things. Can you imagine the whole society doing the same thing at the same time? You can actually take crystals and harness that energy, and you can actually generate energy, a power source, to actually power machines, whatever. And with that kind of thing going on, no one would be charged for anything because basically we were all creating it. So we're all part of it. That makes you think, don't it? Let's see. It's 52 minutes and 54 seconds left in the show. It's 9:07 p.m. here in the mountains. Actually, it's 9:07 mountain time. And it's March 20, 2012. If you just tuned in, this is Psychic X Journey Man's Spiritual Link, and I'm your host, Psychic X Journey Man. We have April, who's in the chat room. So if you're in the chat room, you have any questions you want to ask, please do so. We also have Dee. I don't know where Dee's at. Dee, hello.
Oh, I'm right here. I've been talking to April.
No problem. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take a really quick break because I need something to drink real quick. I'm going to play some music. This is a really cool song. It's by Styx, and it's called, because we're all psychic here, right? It's called Crystal Ball.
I used to like to walk the straight and narrow line. I used to think that everything was fine. Sometimes I'd sit and gaze for days through sleepless dreams, all alone and trapped in time, all alone and trapped in time. I wonder what tomorrow has in mind for me, or am I even in its mind at all? Perhaps I'll get a chance to look ahead and see, soon as I find myself a crystal ball, soon as I find myself a crystal ball. Well, tell me where I'm going, I don't know where I've been. Tell me, won't you tell me, and then tell me again. My heart is breaking, my body's aching, and I don't know where to go. So tell me, won't you tell me.
around.
All right, we're back. We're going to kick in some chicken here. Okay, let's get down to the nitty-gritty of the spirituality we're talking about here. We're getting into the situation, the conversations about Atlantis. I think it's because we're trying to sit and look at the situation of why society is going full circle, you know, the idea leading back to that kind of, you know, that time. Because let's sit here and look at a grand, you know, garden, or it's like looking at, have you ever seen some of the what do you call those things? I keep seeing in my mind, too. Great courtyards. I mean, there's great courtyards where we have these massive meditations going on, 30 and 40 and, you know, hundreds of people meditating at the same time, focusing on great energy that was actually proven this a couple years ago, where they were showing people exactly how powerful mental energy is, how powerful a thought is, by taking the murder rate in Washington, D.C., that was their target. And their target was to sit there and meditate and focus on it, on how to reduce the murder rate for that year. And the murder rate in D.C. before that happened had always gone up every year, gone up like clockwork. But it seemed like it was funny the year they started focusing on bringing the murder rate down. That's exactly what happened. The murder rate dropped that year, which had never happened in probably 20 years. So when you start looking at those things, what we're sort of talking about and focusing on with Atlantis, of giving people an idea that sometimes with situations of drama, people like to drama things up. Like Plato could have been a situation where he looked at the whole thing of these people and put a little twist on it to actually had history and facts and knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that Atlantis did exist, but he decided to take the story and actually use it as a way to teach people between good and bad and what can happen to you and the idea of the consequences of your actions. When actually the Atlanteans were just destroyed because of living so close to a volcano that destroyed. I mean, it's like looking. Imagine you had such a great society who could actually focus as a whole too to divert disasters, to create force fields around oneself, to keep a volcano at bay from erupting by using mental powers, mental focus. So it tends to lay that they manifest that the volcano to not erupt like those people did in D.C., they did on the D.C. murder rate. They all focus and manifested the murder rate dropping. So we have a society that did the same thing. But what happened was they never realized what was really going on under the surface of that volcano. That it didn't just erupt, it actually destroyed the whole freaking island, which if you look at the Mediterranean, that's a proven fact. The volcano erupted and destroyed the whole island, where now it's just like it's just a ring. But at one time, it was a huge, humongous island, and now it's not. So, you know, people say, well, how come we can't find Atlantis? I mean, if you had a volcano that basically just destroyed everything, even the island that it was on, I mean, are you really going to find anything? I don't think so. But we're just sitting there talking about the things. Was the Atlanteans bad people? Did they lose track of things? No, I think what happened was Atlantis itself, great society, volcano erupted, boom. Then we had the continent of Atlantis, which was between the United States, North America, and Africa. And the process of certain things happening, there was a global change, and a continent basically sank underneath the ocean. And then, in the process of the situation, we have refugees that come from Atlantis in that destruction who influence other societies like Egypt itself. And then you have a different... That's when you start getting what we have... the dark side of almost like people let out of their cages and they're wild and they have a chance to do crazy things. But I think that Atlantis itself was just a society like any other society. Certain things happen and that part of it disappeared. So when we're talking about, what we're talking about, it was the ideal of these people working with crystals and simplifying their lives and working with, you know, one-on-one with nature. There was actually a subject brought up about half animal, half humans, where I think it was like any other society. You have a great society, great positive people, but there's always a chosen few. They have a tendency to do other things a different way. Experimenting with, you know, splicing genes and that kind of stuff, and it got out of control, just like we do in the society now, where we have certain scientists who decide to jump the gun and do certain crazy things, who don't take in consideration. It's not the ideal, can we do it? It's the ideal, should we do it? So we see a society like that, but as a whole, you know, mass meditations focus on the things that we see now. Take a look at the things we see with metaphysics now. Meditations, crystals, chakra alignments, all these other things. A picture of a society, a complete society like that. Reiki masters, energy, you know, healers, artists, you know, psychics, and just all kinds of people, not really psychics, more like those spiritual advisors and people working and practicing their clairvoyancy and remote viewing and checking the plant out and say, okay, Joey's in trouble. You know, remote viewing the whole thing. We zip off and get those things. But it's not just like we have now pockets of people in here. You know, like we have Sedona, Casadega, and here in Manitou Springs and other places across the globe. Imagine a society, complete society, like that. And then you have a destruction, boom, done. And then we have five or six people who are just in their heyday of imbalance. And they have a tendency that their dark side come out more. And it just happened to happen. We come up on Egyptians. In the process of coming up with Egyptians, they're like, let's manipulate these people. And let's create something. We were part of something great, so they want to create something else. Because you notice a lot of these societies and these great civilizations that were built, they happen in the middle of nowhere. And we're starting to realize, in some sense, the word Atlantis was in the middle of nowhere, too. In the middle of the Mediterranean. Or the middle of the Atlantic, whatever. It was in the middle of something isolated. We got 40 minutes left in this show, and we're asking everybody out there. Give us a call here at 646-721-9031 if you have an opinion about the situation yourself. If not, if you're calling and you want to get a couple answers to your questions you've been seeking for so long, please do so, because we're going to take this format for the next 40 minutes and just do nothing but reading. So give us a call in here and give us something to do. All right? That number again is 646-721-9031. And also, I do private readings too as well, so give me a call at 740-500-8863 or call me through Skype at 740-601-9835 or contact me through my website, which is www.psychicxjourneyman.com. And this make a difference in the world, so give us a call on here. I was going to say, also we want to sit there and give a highly thanks to our sponsor on our show, Richard Palanga, and his products, Divine Body Wash, and go to and check it out for yourself at www.divinebodywash.com. And for each one of our listeners out there, he says for each one of you guys who donate $25, he will give you a bottle of this body wash, and if you donate $35 or more, he will give you also a bottle of body mist. So check that out as well. And right now we have a great March special going on, so take advantage of that too, where you can get a 60-minute reading for $33.33. Give us a call at 740-500-8863. And take a part of the whole situation. And also you can sponsor this show for a simple, small fee of $40 a month. And get you and your product promoted, and you can sponsor the show and help us give up the message. And we actually have a caller in the queue, and let's bring them on and see what's up.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Hello?
Hi, good evening.
And you are area code 732.
Hi, my name is Carol.
Carol, what's up?
Oh, I'd like to know, are you giving readings tonight? I know you said you would. So, Well, I have two questions, but one maybe just maybe a little too advanced, I guess, for the listeners. But the first one is about pre-agreements. We all come with pre-agreements, you know, and I know with our guides, you know, I don't know what my I know one or two, but I just wanted confirmation if I'm on the right path to fulfill them.
Are you on the right path? The one thing I get here is, yes, you are. And it's hot. And I also get the impression that it's like a time to decide to really throw yourself into it. And it's, when I see the card, retreat. Retreat means to sever ties with the world in the sense of influence. You know, a lot of people certain tell you that there's certain things we shouldn't do because the world, that's what the world says. And I think we should sit there and really, like with the path that you're on, where they say you're definitely on the right path, just really listen to your guidance, because it's going to, you know, a couple of times here coming up where it's going to contradict what society would say. And this is not a bad thing. It's just the ideal, like, it's, for example, just an example, people think that living together is okay. But back in the day, it wasn't.
Right.
Society has a tendency to change its opinion about a lot of things because they want to justify their actions. And what they're saying to you is the situation of being put in a situation like that where someone's going to try to use the world to basically as an excuse to justify what they're doing. And it's one of those things that you're going to have a voice because of the path that you've chosen, but you're going to speak your mind and to divert something from happening.
Okay. And my other question, I have these, I'll say in-depth dreams about, extraterrestrial.
Okay.
And to be specific, I did some research because I saw a symbol, and it's the Palladians. I don't know if you heard of them, or I know lately they've been on the news a lot, or even on Blog Talk Radio. And I'd like to know, what is my connection, and why am I dreaming about them? And I seem to buy, doing the research, I went out and I bought like 3-4 books. So I'd like to know, what is my connection to them?
Yeah, they were talking about starseeds. Starseeds are basically tracing back to your origins, where you came from. Parts of them, and that kind of thing like that. And Palladium is one of the ones, actually was one of the good ones, I think.
Yes,
I was actually talking to you. Last year, we used to do a show in the morning called The Missing Spiritual Link. And we used to have a girl and used to do starseed readings and that kind of thing. And I guess I was actually a Palladium, too. And it was one of those things that it's just Palladium is tracing your source back to a planet that are, you know, it's one of those things. I haven't done those things and all that kind of work since last year. So it was like, I know what they're all about, the Palladiums, and actually it was amazing. I did some readings, but I didn't know anything, and actually picked up exactly, because the lady I was on the show with came in after I did it, and the lady asked to give confirmation of what I'd already said, and basically everything I said was around the money. So I was like, okay, I guess I can do them. Starseed readings, yeah. But a lot of people do the research because they don't want to be traced back to the reptilians and other races. Well, reptilian was one of them. There was another race, too, that actually, we talk about raging war, and it was because the Atlanteans had a tendency to let in and be open with everyone. And it seemed like the reptilians and another race came in, too.
The reptilians are kind of on the dark, I guess what they call them, the dark hats. Everything is, not that they're bad, they're just like, you know, like black and white. They're just are on the ignorant side, that they're not aware of the light. That's all it
they're
is.
They're like ignorant.
Yeah, that's all. Well, and nowadays we do see a reptilian kind of attitude in this world. That's why we're in a lot of trouble, too. But because, you know, nobody can see the light. The dark ones, you know, they don't want to see the light, or they can't see the light. And that's, I don't know, that's the way I was reading a lot about it. But the Palladians supposedly are helping us with the ascension now. So,
well, they said that they were
supporting.
Also talking about, what was it? If anybody ever saw the series Charmed, they have these characters and they're called light workers.
Yes.
Those are the Palladians.
Yes, well, yes. Aren't we supposed to be light workers too?
Exactly. Yes, we are.
So I think that's, yeah, why am I dreaming? I came out of, you know, I've been hearing about it, but never really thought, you know, I ended up dreaming. I said, oh, and then there's a symbol. And I'll never forget that. It was like the last moment of my dream was that symbol, which is kind of the blue and the white, you know, just like the Archangel Michael has. You could always tell who's Archangel Michael. Well, they have their own symbol. It's like United Nations symbol, that kind of symbol.
Right.
And I did research, and I'm like, okay, what is this? What is this? So then I kind of tracked it down because it was, you know, I go on the internet, and I said, oh, my God. I said, deja vu, this is it. This was in my dream. So I don't know why, but.
Well, I get the impression it was in your dream for you to find it.
Yeah, and you know, I'm a very good investigator. You know, when I set my mind to things, I have to get to the bottom of it. You know, I feel like I should be working for the FBI sometimes. But I'm that kind. You know, it's like every dream has, you know, a meaning to it, you know. So to me, it was very important. So, and I thought it was a very loving dream, you know, just like very loving, you know. I found that's the way when I opened my eyes, it was like very, like a lot of love coming from that dream. So I thought that was so beautiful, and I had such a good feeling that, you know, I had to do. So now I'm like trying to find out, you know, if it's part of my agreements or whatever. So I just want to know that. Well, I thank you.
No problem. I was just saying, when you sit there and saw the dream itself, it was just leading you into a place that you actually do that research and get that for me. Because it seemed like it brought a different dimension to your life.
Yeah, I'm very spiritual. So to me, I'm always like thinking, you know, like I want to learn more and more and more, you know, on a daily basis. I'm like on this path of I just want to regain knowledge and use it, you know, and thus we call it wisdom. So yeah, I'm on that path. I want to be an advanced light worker.
Right. No.
But I can't see or hear my guides. I could feel it, and I know that they're around me, but I still, and I ask them every day, when can I see you? When can I see you? So I guess I'm, you know, I want to be that advanced. I want to be that advanced, you know, that I could hear and feel.
Yeah.
So I thank you. I won't keep you up. I won't keep you up.
No, it's one of those things right now we have a... we have 30 minutes left in the show. So, you know, it's one of those things of we were talking about Atlantis and that kind of stuff, and they were talking about Palladians and Reptilians, and it was actually said that that was also another thing that brought an imbalance into the Atlanteans when these people came here. We were talking about also with if anybody ever watched Star Trek, there was actually a movie with the Next Generation that made a movie where they were showing the beginning of the Star Trek epic, you know, with warp drive and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And they showed that as soon as the humans became warp drive capability, the Vulcans showed up.
Mm.
Okay, they attracted another alien. They attracted an alien race that was interested. Oh, these people have warp capability, so we would check them out. And it was that example was like the Atlanteans of getting into their technology, that it attracted these other alien races, that they actually intersect with each other. And that's when the Reptilians and these other people have started to manipulate the situation or realizing, like Klingons. I always use the word Klingons because, or even certain primitive races will come in and they'll be your best friend. And it's like they're observing you. But they're not observing you to get to know you before they do anything.
Right.
They're looking for your weaknesses, and that's what they were doing here. They noticed that the Atlanteans were very open, and also with telepathic abilities and the spiritual way and that kind of stuff. You know, people can. You know, we've heard about psychic attacks and that kind of stuff, and that's where it originated from.
Yeah. You know, I also think, you know, you see, the one thing I think that does exist across the universe is just like in the movie, the Federation, you know, where they all meet up, you know, like the universe, and each one kind of represents each planet. I do think that exists, you know, intergalactic Federation. I do think that exists. We can't be alone. We're not alone. We are. You know, we're out here by ourselves only because we haven't advanced. I think the Palladians are 1,000 years. That's us in our future. I think they're 1,000, 2,000, even 3,000 years, you know, ahead of us. And I think they come to, you know, it's part of, you know, I think this is where, you know, spirituality comes in. If they are 1,000 years or 2,000 years, they are our future. They're also very loving. They have to be very advanced, very loving, where that, you know, what's inside of us, which is God, they also have the same thing. And I think they come here to help us grow, develop, not to be in the dark, and look at the world the way it is, look at Mother Earth the way it is, where everything is collapsing. But, you know, it's collapsing, but it's not collapsing. It's not to be in fear. Nothing is going to collapse. This is our learning lessons, you know, that we have to go through to clean the house, you know. And Mother Nature is mad at us because we throw garbage at her. So she's throwing the same thing back to us. And there's more to it. I think it's 2012. It's going to be a beautiful year. And everything is going to, we need a little adjustment, like in the financial world, just an adjustment, you know. Everything that needs to be cleaned up will be cleared up. And I think every aspect of our lives needs to be cleared up so we can grow and go into the fifth dimension and move on and be a lot more sophisticated, aware, and so we could get new technologies in. That's my two cents. I believe in love. I believe in the light, and I believe everything is going to turn out terrific. I guarantee you. In December of this year, it'll be a brand new Earth. I guarantee you.
So was you listening earlier when I was there talking about that the reason why we can't find Atlantis or Atlanteans is because they travel from dimension to dimension, from planet to planet, from solar system to solar system?
I believe that. No, I wasn't.
Yeah, with their own solar game?
I just got home. No, I wasn't. No, I missed all that. I just got in.
Yeah, we were sitting. I was here trying to tell them, but yeah, it was like having sidewalks. Like
I'm going to the archives.
Right. It was like you have your city. Okay. Yeah. What I was trying to do was describe to everybody. I said, okay, imagine this: you're underneath the ocean. You're in your own little motorized vehicle, and you're cruising through. All of a sudden, you come up over a crest, and you see this great city under the ocean. And they said they have domes over top of the city itself. It's a force field, but the force field itself, you can just see the outline of it because it blends with the water so perfectly that you don't even realize there's a dome there, okay? So then you start noticing, here comes a vehicle from the right. You see this vehicle come busting through here. You think it's going to crash into this freaking dome. All of a sudden, it just goes through it. And then you see it go into one of the little buildings. The buildings look like something from like a hamster city, where you have those little domes, and they're all connected with the little tubes, and they're all intersect with each other. And I said, what you'll see is you'll see Stargate. You'll see a Stargate on the left side and a Stargate on the right side. And I said, we were talking about the ideal that society still exists, And there's five or six of these outposts that still exist, and they're connected with these stargates. And they go, they say, well, I'm going to go see Joe. So we're going to go over to our little society over by Iceland. So you basically come in and you think telepathically to the machine, to the stargate, to open, and then you walk through it like you're walking through a wall. And if somebody actually was standing on the stargate itself and looking at it, they would see you go in one side, but nothing on the other side, which means you would pop up over where Iceland's at. And you would understand describing it. You're going to go see your friend, and the reason you love going to see this person is because they have the same kind of city where everything is all glass and glass sections. So they love being a part of the ocean. But their ocean is more like a teal green blue. And you used to love to go there just because you felt like you were one and one with the whales. And then you basically go to, then you start saying, okay, I want to go visit my friends over Japan. Now, Japan's a little bit different because it's not the same format. It's actually in a great pyramid underneath the ocean. But the domes and the buildings themselves are the same. It's just in a different format.
I believe in that. I believe that we are interdimensional. We're not there yet, but we will be. You know, I believe that what's happening, you know, with the energies coming, our chakras, we have so many chakras now, brand new ones, spiritual chakras. I think all of this, it's called evolution. I think we are going to get there, where the veil will come down, will be inter. I believe, and it's like a knowing, we're going to be there during our lifetime. We're going to be able to see, you know. I believe that very strongly. I don't know, you know, not that I watch futuristic movies or anything like that. Knowing that there's more to us than just this form.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that a lot of beautiful things are coming.
Well, that's what we're saying. You know, what we're saying is, it's like, okay, you get up on, just say that you have found a land on one of these little societies from Atlantis, like one of these outposts, and you're getting close to the whole thing, and all of a sudden, you blink your eye and it's gone. It's still there. It's just that the Atlanteans have just taken themselves and put themselves in a state of flux, that they're in a different dimension until
yep.
you're gone,
yep.
and then they come back. That's why people... But certainly, how come we can't find Atlantis? I said, well, if you go to these places, you have to really sneak up on them. I mean, the place still exists in the Gulf of Mexico. It seems like any place that you can find really blue water, you have a capability of finding one of these societies that was attached to Atlantis at one time. Because I was sitting there going, yes, Atlantis was destroyed, and the continent itself submerged itself out of the ocean because of global changing. Okay, so we lose all these things, and Atlantis just had to get caught up in the whole thing. But in the process of these other outposts or these other societies that were connected to it, they separated from those things because they wasn't in fault areas. They didn't have a natural disaster to take them out. Okay, so, and people go, well, why didn't they just restart the whole thing up? Well, they separated from it. If you ever looked at the Roman Empire had a lot of outposts. Did those outposts try to resurrect the Roman Empire? No, they didn't. They just flourished on their own, independently. And that's what these things have done. These what these people have done too, as well. And they've done a really great job. Because I was understanding, you got a massive crystal. You keep society in a state of positive focus, where everybody's focusing on positive. They're focusing on solutions. They're focusing on everything. Like I was saying before, picture society like we have today. But instead of having, you know, pockets here and there of Reiki masters and psychics and that kind of stuff, imagine the whole society was like that.
Exactly. I think we are going to get there very soon. Very soon. The way everything, you know why? Because time is moving so fast. So many things are happening that, you know, nothing, I think man is going to awaken. Very soon. I think by the end of the year, you're going to see a big transformation. I do believe that everyone's going to awaken, because the ones that are already awakened will educate, you know, what's happening. You know, why is this, And I think that our roles as light workers, it's to help the ones that haven't awakened yet, to hold their hand, to show them it's okay, you know, not to live in fear, to remove the fear so the light can come in. Oh, gosh, this is too beautiful. Oh, my God, I'm channeling this stuff. I got the goosebumps as I'm telling you this, you know, because I do believe it, you know, with all my core. I believe that by the end of the year, a lot of magical things are going to happen to this earth this year and next year.
That's what we're trying to get to do here, is what we're trying to understand with the situation of people talking about 2012. It's the idea of ending of one phase, the beginning of another. It's not the idea of the end of the earth. It's the, I guess you would say it's the end of, it's like mass consciousness changes.
Right.
And I think it's kind of crazy, but I was talking about Lex Fiance, and I said it's kind of funny that when we're on the same page and we're both focusing on spiritual lifestyle and we're very positive, the relationship was working, but it also seemed like the planet was also imbalanced too. And it seems like once that relationship was unbalanced and she went back to the dark side, it seemed like it threw off balance. And next thing you know, we had this freaking
you mean the dark side? She went to the dark side. What does that mean? She went to
not the dark side. I do the dark side. We're talking about drugs, drinking, being an idiot.
Oh, I got you. Sometimes, you
having
know,
sex with multiple partners.
You can't control. You can't judge. You can't judge other people. And if anything, you have to have compassion for her. Send her light. And
that's
not that you have to be around it. You don't have to be around it. And I don't think it's good.
I'm not.
Yeah. But, you know, she's on her journey, and she'll be okay. She's just a little lost. That's happening a lot out there. You know, you just have to have compassion and send light. And they will find themselves, you know. And that's all you could do. But you shall find another twin light. I guarantee you. Hello?
No, I was sitting there thinking about this. I was sitting there saying that there's a difference between judgmental and stating a fact. And I was just saying that's what she was all about. And when it comes from that point on, she's on her own level, and she's on her own path, and she'll figure things out on her own. But it's amazing how people have a tendency to sit there and focus on those situations and get mad at us because we don't sit there and come in and save them and say, okay, I'll pick you up and I'll sit there and help you and that kind of stuff, not realizing one thing. We can't do that.
No.
You know, people have to learn that from there's consequences to their actions. And if they're never put there, we're just enabling them to keep doing the same thing all over again.
Yeah, they're just, you know, they also are victims, and they have something that, you know, just like you have a lot of light within you, well, they aren't that grown up yet. They're not that mature yet. They have maybe other issues that they need to deal with and clear, you know. They need to do a lot of clearing, and that's why they run away and they get involved with, you know, unfortunately, you know, they get on the weaker side, and, you know, they need to cover up that pain. That's all about, you know, when you're taking up another, you know, the drugs or the drinking or whatever it is, you're really covering up the pain that doesn't want to go away. And you can't deal with the pain. You're not, you know, right now what we're going through in our ascension is we have to clear. In order for us to grow and develop, we have to clear every single thing that's happened in our lives. They're still bugging us, like, or comes up. So, yes, you know, a lot of people have a lot of work, much work to be done on themselves before they can have somebody else. They need, and in order for them to be, sometimes, in order for them to get to that step where they could look within, look at themselves, and just, you know, not feel like a victim anymore, then that's when they could go. But sometimes they need assistance, but I won't say, you know, it has to be an acquaintance. It has to be sometimes on a professional level, or if you're strong enough, you could go within. But by the time you're just too far out. So I do think when you take on, you're just covering up a lot of pain. That's why I say you have to have compassion. Nobody starts drinking. Nobody takes a pill, or nobody, even tries to commit suicide because they're really healthy. They're not emotionally, they're not there. You know, they have a lot of things that have happened in their lives, or maybe one trauma that happened in their lives, you know, and who knows what the answer is, because, you know, I'm not there, you know, I don't know who this person is, but I do feel compassion, and I do send out light. And yes, they'll find their way sooner or later, hopefully sooner. That's the way I look at it.
Right.
You just have to have, you have to have compassion for the person, you know, you really do. And you move on, and if you don't want to be associated, just fine, because you're on your journey, you're not responsible for somebody else. You know,
mm-hmm.
You're just responsible for yourself, and to know that you're doing a great job, and you know you're here on your journey. And the other things are part. Yet, you know what she is? Mm-hmm. She's your professor. She's your master. You are learning. You are learning how to be patient, and how when things come up in our lives, it's just an experience. Mm-hmm. Whether And you can never say it was a bad experience. You have to change that world, you know, that word bad. It was an
experience.
It was a challenge. It was a challenge. But that person came into your life so you could learn. So, yes, she's your teacher, too. You have to look into that, why that person came into your life. Because this will happen again if you don't look at it in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's me. And that's all I have to say tonight.
No, I was just one thing I wanted to say to everybody out there real quickly is I wanted to ask you something before you go too. I just want to sit here and say Richard Palanga is our sponsor, and if you want to give a chance to sample some of his body wash from his website, divinebodywash.com, please do so. And he's also saying right now you can get a chance to actually get it. A little bit of that body wash by just donating $25 to the show, you get a bottle of this body wash for free. If you donate $35 or more, he will also throw in a bottle of body mist. And it's all natural ingredients. It's all based on divine and the spiritual. So check it out. That's the divinebodywash.com. And we'd like to say thank you, Richard, for being our sponsor and being there for us and help us with the show and get the message out and actually keep going what we're doing. And if you also want to do the same thing and donate or want to be a sponsor on the show, a $40 monthly fee, you can actually have yourself promoted and your product on the show and sponsor the show and help us get the message and keep it going. And also donation will do the same thing as well. So thank you. And there was something else I wanted to say too, but
you wanted to say good night. I'm a comedian.
I still got 10 minutes. I got plenty of time to say that. But I was just saying with the situation and things that we. The thing I wanted to say real quickly was I was brought to my attention. I actually write for Bella Spree magazine, and I actually posted some pictures on my website on Facebook that supposedly we've had some comments about that. I guess some people are like up in arms. And what we're going to do is ask everybody to go to my Facebook and basically post your comments of what you think about those pictures and what should they be done. Because some people are saying they're offensive. And it's like, you really want to sit there and look at the people on this planet and ask them what would our lives be like if Adam wouldn't have partaked in that fruit he did, that we'd all be walking around with no clothes on. Because we wouldn't know what those were. We wouldn't know what this lifestyle is. This was something that was created by humans on the human level of all kinds of things that are going on. But it was just one of those things of getting someone else's opinion about the situation, what they think about these pictures. There's two pictures on there. The one looks provocative, but it doesn't really. These things were actually taken by a professional photographer. Okay? And they were tastefully done. So I don't understand what they were going to say. We've had a couple comments that actually said they, you know, it was kind of a spiritual kind of aspect of shedding the earthly clothes. So I thought it was pretty good.
Hmm.
So if you have a comment about that, please.
People are so uptight.
Huh? if you want to check it out,
go to my. People are too uptight.
Yeah, it's like you want to. So if you want to go check this out, go to my Facebook account, which is actually Psychic X Journeyman. And check it out for yourself and see what you think about those things. And if you want to, you can post your comments either here on Blog Talk Radio at Blog Talk Radio, send me an email or drop me a line here, or you can drop me a line on my website, which is www.psychicxjourneyman.com. And plus, when we're actually talking about books and that kind of stuff on the site and links and that kind of thing you go to, if you go to my website, you will see that I have a page for books that I recommend and links. And we've actually even made it easier for we actually have a link on there to Amazon.com. So if you want to get partake in some of these angel cards or books or whatever, just a simple link away. You just click on the link and you can go and get anything you want to. So check that out too as well. And if you want to get a private reading from me, just give me a call at 740-500-8863. Give you all the details and all the things we do. Because we do everything from group readings to parties to Skype group readings, Skype calls, palm readings can be done, and all kinds of various ways we can do palm readings on Skype in person. So if you're in Manitou Springs, if you're in the Springs area, in Colorado Springs, Manitou Springs, in Colorado, we'd be glad to work with you. Also, if you guys are out there and you have a shop or something that you would like to promote and you would like to have us do a live remote from you, say that you might have a haunted castle or some kind of thing like that. I also have a paranormal group called Psychic Ex-Journeyman's Paranormal Investigators, where we come in, check out your place and that kind of stuff. But we also do a live link with Ustream and Blog TV and also with Blog Talk Radio, where you get all this exposure and people know who you are and what it's all about. But you've opened the doors to us, it's going to open the doors to you. So think about that. And usually when we do live remotes, there is no fee for that. And plus we come in, and anybody who's a part of that whole thing, we do free readings for, as much as we do free readings on the show. As long as we're doing free readings on the show, we do free readings for the people when we do these live remotes. So think about that whole thing, too. So with the situation, Carol.
All righty. Well, you have a wonderful evening. I thank you so much.
Please check in with us from time to time and give us an update on
how you
are.
I will. I found it very interesting, and I'm glad you're very open to ETs. So I think that's beautiful. You know, I just like, it all started with a dream, you know. So now I'm on this expedition to find out, you know, why, you know. So I'm so curious about everything that comes into my life. So, well, I thank you so much for the reading. And you have And you have a lovely evening.
You too. And thank you. And you have a great week. And
you too. Thank you.
To all your friends. All righty. Well, we're going to sit here and... So, Dee, did you get a good reading? You've seen the picture. Am I right or wrong?
It's been so interesting.
Right, but you've seen the pictures on Facebook, right?
No, I haven't seen the Facebook picture. I'll have to go look.
Okay. Go check out April's pictures on my own Facebook.
One thing I know is people...
Hello?
Wow. I know people are too uptight. Hello?
Yeah, we're here. We thought we lost you for a minute. Hello? Hello? D. Hello.
Hello.
Oh, there you are.
Hello, I'm here.
No, I was just saying, you said you went and checked out
I'm
your...
I'm here.
Okay. I'm just saying, you go out and check out the
No, I haven't.
Go check the pictures out yourself.
I won't find them offensive.
You don't find them offensive?
People are too uptight. I won't find them offensive. Don't you know I'm a dirty-minded body old lady with class?
Mm-hmm. Well, I can understand the situation.
So
was it, you
they
know,
won't offend me.
Yeah, but, you know, it's a public thing. And there's the one, well, the one picture she's got all her clothes on. I guess we could look at it as a very sensual side.
Yeah.
Post the link. What is my, okay. How do you, April, post a link for Facebook. Can you do that?
Well, I have a Facebook account anyway.
Did you want to say, April? Post the link for that one, and also post the link for Facebook, because it was interesting in itself, I'm telling you.
I was asking April when you... You know, back then when you were talking in the beginning about Richard Belanger and his body wash, I wondered if I donated, if I'd get a divine body, but she thought all I needed was to wear some silk clothing and put some glitter makeup on, and I'd feel divine. Thought
well,
my body was fine as it was. Ah!
Right. Why don't you just donate $25 and see what this stuff's all about? So therefore, when we start when we're promoting Richard's stuff, we actually have a person who's actually tried it to give out what you felt about the whole thing. And so I looked in the mirror yesterday and I actually lost 10 years, man. And believe me, I'm not looking for him either.
Hey. Oh, no, I wouldn't be.
They were saying because I'm associated with Bell Magazine and Bell's mad because of those things were posted on it because some people have said some comments, they find them offensive. And right now, we got 90 seconds left in the show, and I want to sit there and say thanks to everybody who's donated to the show. Thank you for all the donations. And if you want to sponsor the show, please do so. It's a $40 fee to sponsor the show a month. That's a heck of a deal. Also, for March right now, if you want to get a 60-minute reading, it's only going to cost you $33.33. If you're a person who wants to sit down and do a 90-minute session or a group reading, a 10 of your friends for a Skype or whatever, this month it's only going to cost you $77.77, which is usually $135 value. So check those things out. Give us a call at 740-500-8863, and that's my private line. You should always be able to reach me on those things because no one else answers that phone. So let's sit down and do a session. I'm looking forward to sitting down and doing a reading for each and every one of you guys, and I guarantee you it'll be one of the best readings you ever had because it's more than a reading. It's an experience. All right, give me a call, 740-500-8863. Also, okay, Dean, give them information so they can get in contact with you too as well and experience those incredible readings that you give, okay?
Okay. You can call me at 207-274-5072. Email me at spiritwindthemessenger@hotmail.com. For MSN, I'm spiritwindthemessenger@hotmail.com or Yahoo. Messenger, Fairy in the Moonlight at yahoo.com.
Mm-hmm.
Call me and we'll work out, you know, donation fees. I usually figure about 60 for you know, an hour's worth of my time, 20 for an email reading, and 20, 25 or whatever for chatting with you on Yahoo or MSN. But I'm willing to work with your budget because I know not everybody has a lot of money that they can just put out there. And I take PayPal, and I'll get back to you within 24 hours, so just give me a call.
That's it. Dee, spit it out. Come on. Also, guys, if you want to experience this great body wash that Richard got out, they'll do so, okay? I was just saying, if you want to experience this divine body wash, it's a great product because Dee's going to check it out.
Right, I got to find out if I get a divine body.
Right. And it's like, check it out. It's a great, fantastic product. Go to divinebodywash.com. You'll love it. It's great. And right now, for the listeners, if you donate $25, he'll give you a bottle of body wash. If you donate $35 or more, he'll give you a body of body mist together. It's two bottles, I'm telling you. So check it out. Give us a call, 740-500-8863. Get the details on any other things we do. And also go to the website and make your donation. www.psychicxjourneyman.com. Donations are appreciated. We thank you for each one of those things, and thanks everybody out there for listening. Be supportive and that kind of stuff. And we'll see you tomorrow. What's tomorrow? We'll see you tomorrow. We'll see you tomorrow, Wednesday. We're going to be on tomorrow morning. We're going to be there tomorrow, 11 a.m. So join us for more. We're going to sit there and get a little more detail into the descriptions of certain things with Atlantis instead of like we've gone on before. I think you'll enjoy it, so join us. We'll talk to you then. Have a good night. May God and the angels bless you every minute of every day. And give love where love is given. Bye.
Good idea.
I have an itch. Let's see.
Okay, that one side two naked picture, there's nothing wrong with it. Good, faith in God, people.
Hey.